John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
Classic Rock 102.9 MGK. The gentleman that we are about to have on the air has had over, 80 Billboard Top 40 singles to his credit. He's sold over 50 million records worldwide, and there's a very good chance that you don't know who he is. In the music business, we all know who he is. He's Desmond Child, and he's got a brand new album called Desmond Child Live. And I've got to tell you, Desmond, there are three things I'm going to tell you now that I doubt anyone else on this tour is going to tell you. You ready?
I'm ready.
I was on the radio and played Desmond Child in Rouge.
Wow, you're old.
Secondly, I met you with Joan Jett and Kenny Laguna.
Oh my God, my two favorite people in the entire world.
And lastly, my son was at an ASCAP convention where at the end of the convention you bring up a couple of musicians to criticize their work.
That's right. Was he one of them?
He was one of them.
I'm sorry.
No. You loved him. Desmond, I just find it so hard to comprehend. The public, they hear, you know, these Bon Jovi songs, Bad Medicine, Living on a Prayer, You Give Love a Bad Name. Are these songs that you wrote totally on your own, or were you with John and Richie? I mean, how did they come about?
I'm the ultimate collaborator, you know. Uh-huh. I've never really been that successful pitching a song. I go in and I usually co-write with the lead singer and the lead guitar player. We form a sacred circle and we get in there and knock it out. And so all of this, you know, the hits I've written, I've been a part of and collaborated with the artists that performed them.
When did you hook up with Aerosmith? And was that at the time that Aerosmith really had their big, rebirth?
They had gone to Geffen Records and they had made a record called Done With Mirrors. Mm-hmm. John Klodner, the A&R guy that had signed them, had started to see the success I was having with Bon Jovi and Kiss, and gave me a call and forced me on Aerosmith. They did not want to collaborate. They'd never collaborate with someone outside. Mm-hmm. But to bring somebody completely into their world, into their family, into their culture from the outside was a new idea. And so I went to Boston, and the very first day that I got there, I walked into this warehouse, and Joe had like an army of 100 guitars, every kind of glitter, purple, rainbow, every kind of guitar was on the floor. And Steven comes up to me and like leads me up to where Joe's kind of working on this backward loop that's going da-da, da-da, and then Steven starts singing, "Cruising for the ladies, da-da." And I said, "That's really bad." And Joe like crossed his arms, and Steven kind of sheepishly said, "Well, when I first started to sing that, I was singing Dude Looks Like a Lady." And I said, "What?" "Well," and then Joe said, "But we don't know what that means." And I said, "Well, I'm gay. I know what that means." And I hoodwinked them into telling this amazing story that has stood the test of time. Never judge a book by its cover, or who you're gonna love by your lover.
Oh, man. Now, did that lead you into all of these other songs? Because you worked with them on Angel and on What It Takes and Crazy. These are their biggest hits.
I know.
Like I'm telling you something you don't.
And Steven wrote his autobiography. He spent two pages on Dude Looks Like a Lady. Then, kind of said, "Oh, well, you know, he didn't really write anything on the song and this and that and the other thing." But then Joe writes his autobiography and said, "Well, Desmond came up with everything. He came up with the title and everything." I'm sure they haven't read each other's autobiographies. And so finally I had to sit Steven down and tell him exactly what happened. And so, you know, he looked at me and goes, "I like your story better."
All of the songs that you've written, and especially in this group of Bon Jovi, Aerosmith, Joan Jett, Kiss, what was the toughest one that you worked on?
I mean, sometimes it's tough. I mean, with Michael Bolton, I co-wrote How Can We Be Lovers If We Can't Be Friends with Diane Warren and Michael. And, you know, he was a very tough customer. He really was. And we were kind of afraid of him.
Now, did he have the mullet at that time?
Mullet in full bloom.
Okay. Oh, well, there's a reason to be. There's a reason to be scared. No,
Okay. He's stuck on the mullet.
Diane and I always used to joke that, you know, if you sit by the side of the river long enough, you'll see Michael Bolton's mullet float by. But I got to tell you this great story. So I'm producing the song, and so Michael was on his way to the studio from Connecticut, and so he was getting close. So I had hired a drummer to come and play crash cymbal on the last modulation, right? Mm-hmm. And he goes to play it, and all of a sudden, I'm only hearing two or three instruments, and I look at my engineer, and he turns white, and then he stops the machine. The assistant engineer had plugged in, or what they call a remote, but it was plugged into 17 tracks, got erased.
Oh my God.
It was worse than the Nixon White House.
Oh my God. Well, Desmond Child, folks, probably one of the greatest songwriters in America today. He's got an album out where he's finally singing all of his songs. Desmond Child Live. It's available now. Desmond Child, our guest. Classic Rock, 102.9 MGK.
Rock on.
Thank you, dude.